having these hands and multiply, God, and all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.
He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence, to worship you, to seek you, God, to encounter you, Lord. We want to thank you for that, Lord. And God, we pray as we go through your word that your presence and your power just continually be manifested today, God. We pray, God, that as your word is being spoken, Holy Spirit, pray that you would convey your message. Convey the message that we need to hear this afternoon, God. May you stir our hearts to truly love you and to truly love one another. So, Father, we give this time to you. Speak to us now, Jesus, and we pray. Amen. You know, I remember when, before Deb and I got married, right, my mom wanted to meet with her so she can talk to us about marriage, right? So she told Deb and I, hey, would you set apart a day, come to my shop, and I want to just share some things with you. So I remember talking to Deb, we set apart a day, we're like, hey, let's go visit my mom, and let's hear what she has to tell us about marriage, right? And as we set a date, and as we go to, you know, her store, she takes us to the back of her office, right in the back of the store, and I'm super anxious. I'm super nervous because I'm like, what the heck is my mom going to say to Deb, right? I'm a guy who's her son, who she dearly cherishes and loves. Plus, I'm going to be a person who's on the road to become a pastor. So that's extra pressure, right? So as we sit down in the chairs and my mom's sharing, I'm a little anxious, a little worried. But as she's talking to us, I soon realize that a lot of the stuff that she's saying, it's to me, right? And she's saying, Tav, like, don't be stubborn. Don't be prideful. Said, Tav, don't be afraid to, you know, show your affection to Deb in public. Said, be careful what you say to Deb, right? Just be wise with the choice of words. Don't say anything that'll hurt her. Know how to listen to her, right? Help around the house. Be kind to her. Be gentle with her. Be patient. What my mom was pretty much telling me was what? Don't be like your dad, right? Like, don't be like your dad. And that's what the message she was kind of conveying to me, right? And don't get me wrong, my dad loved my mom, but just like any other 99% Korean dad, husband, they showed it in a different way, right? But behind the message of my mom telling me, don't be like your dad, I know what she was trying to tell me. She was saying, hey, love your wife, love Deb. And these are some of the ways I think that you can express love to her, right? These are some of the ways I think that you can build a healthy family together. In our passage today, I believe Apostle Paul is doing something very similar. He's writing to Christians, and he's writing to them to share with them how we should love and how we can love in the context of the church. Right before this passage, today's passage, last week, Pastor Scott talked about spiritual gifts, right? Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts, and then today in our passage, he comes to talk on the topic of love. Right? Last week we learned how God has endowed us with spiritual gifts and how God has called us to use it to build up and to edify one another, to build up and to edify the church. And today he wants to share with us how we are to love. I don't think this is a coincidence, right? I don't think it just happened. He just said, okay, you know, let me just talk about love now. If you guys know 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 what? Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts. We talked about this last week. In chapter 13 is where we get the famous chapter about love, right? So Apostle Paul is talking today of saying, hey, these are some ways that we can love each other, and he's letting us know that loving one another as a church is crucial. But let me ask you a question. Let me throw out a question out there to you. Would you want your church to be a church that is spiritually gifted? Or would you want a church, or your church, to be a church that's full of love? Think about that. Would you want your church to be spiritually gifted, or would you want your church to be full of love? Right? Spiritually gifted, full of love? It's kind of a trick question, because we want a church that has both. Amen? We need a church that has both spiritual gifts and love. Let me prove that to you. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about spiritual gifts. 13, he talks about love. Check it out. Chapter 14, verse 1, he says this, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. So we need to be a church that has both, right? But as you and I utilize our spiritual gifts, we cannot neglect loving one another. You see, rather than, you know, using our spiritual gifts for our own gain, we're called to use our spiritual gifts with the motivation, right, of loving one another, of loving the church. You see, spiritual gifts help the church to function, but love is what keeps us together. Spiritual gifts help the church to function, but love is what keeps us together. Since we talked about spiritual gifts last week, let's talk about love today in the context of the church. Apostle Paul starts off in verse 9. He says this. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. He says, abhor evil, cling to what is good. Pretty much what Apostle Paul is saying, he's saying, let your love be sincere. He's saying, don't pretend to care. Don't pretend to love, but actually love. You see, the English word hypocrite or hypocrisy, we get it from the Greek word of hypokritēs. And what that means, what that represents, is back in the days in the arts, hypocrites were known as actors or stage players, right? People that are on stage, they wore the mask, you know, despite of who they were underneath, they had to play the part of what the mask was playing. And what Apostle Paul is saying is, hey, our love for one another is not to be in hypocrisy, but sincerely, right? Let me give you an example real quick of this. Somebody comes up to us, they share with us, hey, I'm struggling. I'm going through a hard time. And they're kind of venting out to you, right? They're pouring out their difficulty to you, right? And we listen. Our facial expression, it changes. We're like, oh, and we're like, oh, I'm feeling you. I'm listening to you and all that stuff, right? But right after they share what happens, sometimes we forget what they share. Or sometimes we tend to not even care, right? And even being a good Christian, after they share with us, what do we usually say? Hey, I'll be what? Praying for you. But what happens? A lot of times, we don't even pray for them, right? What Apostle Paul, what the Lord is telling us today, is saying, don't just look or play the part, but actually love. Don't act in hypocrisy. Let your love be sincere, right? Let me throw a side note out there for you. Next time you share with somebody and their facial expressions are changing, don't question the motive, please, right? I felt like I had to say this, right? If their expression changed, oh, because they might really be loving on you, right? They might be concerned. They might be caring for you. So please don't question their motive, right? And I believe Scripture teaches us the love that is sincere is love with action, right? Word of God states in 1 John 3:18, it says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. You see, I believe we can perform in action without love, but we cannot love without action, right? We can act without love, but there's no way that you and I can love without action. So again, church, we're called to love each other with a sincere love. Let's not just look the part or play the part, but let our love for one another be sincere. And according to verse 9, he says that this is what sincere love looks like. He says, abhor evil and cling to what is good. See, the word evil here in the Greek, we translate it this way. It means to be hurtful, harmful, or malicious. So Apostle Paul is saying, abhor, he's saying, hate it. Let it be, let yourself be disgusted, right, of anything that's hurtful, of anything that's harmful, if anything that's malicious towards another person. He's saying we are not to act, we are not to speak in such ways that will be hurtful or harmful to another, especially in the context of the church. Rather, he says, cling to what is good. And the word good here can be translated as beneficial, helpful, and useful. Now, we need to ask ourselves today, hey, am I abhorring what is evil and am I clinging to what is good? You see, when you and I hear the word evil, a lot of times we think of, quote-unquote, the big sins, right? These things are evil, like murder, rape, kidnapping, abuse, right, etc. Like, oh, that's evil. But one thing we can't forget, Scripture teaches us that there are such things like selfishness, such things like pride, bitterness and even gossip and even an unbelieving heart, according to God's eyes, that's evil as well. All right, let's be honest. Apart from ourselves being selfish, being prideful, unforgiving, being bitter, gossiping, all those things, who does that benefit apart from us? Nobody. It doesn't. It just benefits us. Let me give you an example. Let's take gossip, all right? Gossip will always build yourself up. But the person you're gossiping about, once they hear it, it tears them down. It builds you up, but if the person you're gossiping about hears it, it's going to tear them down. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 29, Word of God states this: don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community so that it benefits those who hear what you say. So we need to ask the question, is what we're doing, is what we're saying, is it building people up? Is it building my brothers and my sisters up, or is it tearing them down? And hopefully and prayerfully, I hope it's the former, right? Then what are the good things that you and I can cling to? Just flip the evil stuff that I mentioned. Instead of being selfish, be selfless. Instead of being prideful, be humble. Instead of being bitter, be forgiving, right? Instead of gossiping, be encouraging. All of these things focus on building others up. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, when we truly love someone or something, we always want the what? We always want the good for them. We never want evil to be done to them, right? Take, for example, a parent and a child. As a parent, you're never going to hope evil to be done to your child. Why? Because you love them, right? Or a spouse with the spouse, you're never hoping evil is done to your spouse. Why? Because you love them. Let's talk about dogs and cats. If you have pets, same thing, right? You love your pets so much, you never want evil to be done to them. Rather, you want what's good. In the same way, church, sincere love in the context of the church, it abhors evil and it clings to what is good. It's looking to build others up in the church rather than tearing them down. You know, Apostle Paul continues in verse 10. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. We have to be very careful how we read this verse, because I believe a lot of times we like to read this passage as be devoted to me, myself, and I, rather than what's really written there. It says be devoted to who, church? One another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And the word love here is mentioned, it has a deeper meaning, right? The word devoted, which is, again, a form of love in the Greek. In the Greek, it's philostorgos, right? In the Greek, this kind of love and affection represents a love that's within a family. It's that same love that a parent has for the child. It's that same love that a spouse has for their spouse. And so Apostle Paul is stating here that sincere love is like love within family. We're called to love one another as family love one another. And when you think about a church, there's no family that's perfect. Can we agree with that? Amen? There's no family that's perfect. There's no marriage that's perfect. There's no friendship that's perfect either. See, there's times when we will hurt each other. There are times that we will offend each other. There are times that we will argue, we will bicker, we will disagree, and there are times that we will get on each other's nerves. But because we are family, we still choose to commit to love one another. You see, no matter how many times my brother and I broke the heart of my parents or got on their nerves, they still choose to love us, right? Let me give you an example. When I was really young, right, I was in elementary. I don't remember how young I was, but I was pretty young, maybe first grade or so. My mom brought brand new curtains, right? My mom was a house mom at that time, and any time that she could make the house look a bit nicer, she was super happy. Right, so she buys these new curtains. My dad puts them up, and she's super, like, oh yeah, happy, right? Like, oh yes, my house is looking nice. We got these brand new curtains. A day or two after, I decide to play hide and go seek with my friend in the house. Right, so what do? I hide behind the brand new curtains. You know what the problem was? I couldn't see. I couldn't see if my friend was getting close to catch me. So what do? I get smart, grab a pair of scissors, and I cut little holes for my little eyes so I can see if my friend is coming or not, right? I think it was the same day or the next day, I don't remember when, but I remember my mom being in the living room and just screaming. She was like, "What the heck happened here? Who did this, right?" And I fessed up. I said, "Mom, I did it." She's like, "Why did you do that?" And says, "I couldn't see." I couldn't see. I didn't know we're playing hide and go seek, and I wanted to see if my friend was getting close to find me, right? The point is that my mom still loves me to this day, no matter how messed up those curtains were, right? And that's because church, you know, family love, it's based on covenant. It's not based on conditions, right? It's not, "I'll love you if you meet my expectations or if you meet my conditions. I'll love you if I like you." No. Family love is, "I'll love you simply because you're family." Right? There's room for forgiveness. There's room for reconciliation. There's room for understanding and patience. And as we agreed, as any family is imperfect, the church is also imperfect. Right? Should that even be a surprise to us that no church is perfect? Let's think about it. We get a bunch of imperfect people, selfish sinners who come together and try to do church. You think there's going to be a perfect church coming out of that? No way, right? But despite our imperfections, we're called to choose to love one another with the same love that there is within a family. This is the love that God is calling us to do. And Apostle Paul, he even says, sincere love is also, you know, it knows how to give preference to one another. I like how one translation puts it. One translation says it this way. It says, "Love one another with brotherly affection." It says, "Outdo one another in showing honor." What is it saying? It's saying, outdo one another in showing love. It's saying, simply don't look for ways for others to love you and to care for you or to benefit you. It's saying, don't expect, you know, to just receive love from others. Rather, it's saying, look for ways that you can love on someone else. Look for ways that you can benefit someone else. Look for ways that you can care for someone else apart from yourself. If I were to give you a mental image of what it looks like to outgive or outdo somebody or something, right? If you grew up, I'm assuming because we all look quite Asian here, right? If you grew up in a family that's Korean or Asian, right? You ever go to a restaurant, you eat with another family, right? It's time to pay for the check or pick up the tab. What happens? You're going to see your dads get up and they're going to go and run to the cashier. What? They're going to fight for that check. Like, "No, I'm going to pay for that. No, let me pay for that. No, let me pick up that tab," right? Why? Because they're wanting to be generous to the other person. In the same way, even in church, guys, we're called to be the one not sitting on the table for waiting for someone to pick up the tab for us, but we got to be the one who steps up first and goes out and shows our love to somebody else, how we can benefit someone else rather than thinking of ourselves. And I feel like I need to put this in. This means pastors too, vice versa, right? We need to love on the church members, but can I put this in? Please love on us too. Amen, church? Oh, dude, that's messed up. That's messed up. Please love on us too. We're all needing love, right? And today, I kind of want to spend the rest of the sermon just focusing on two practical ways that we can love one another in the context of the church. The first way is serving, okay? Serving is a way that we can love one another sincerely. In verse 11, it's written, it says, "Not lagging behind and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord," right? Right before that, verse 10, it was saying, giving preference to one another, right? Outdoing one another. It says, "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." First of all, get involved with serving the church, right? Those of you that are visitors and guests, we don't expect you to serve and to get involved, right? But those of you that belong to this family of Rooftop, we do expect you to serve and to you know, get involved with you know, the things that's going on. Right? I remember when I was serving in my home church as a worship leader, there was a time when I was serving, I got super bitter, right? I got super bitter. And the reason why I got super bitter was because every time there was a retreat, or pretty much every time there was a retreat, I had to lead worship because I was the worship leader, right? And I remember one winter retreat, we went up to the mountains, right? It's time of prayer. I'm leading worship with our worship team, right? Everyone's like crying. They're getting blessed. They're praying. They're crying out. They're worshiping God. They're experiencing Him and encountering Him. And I'm the one up there leading worship, and I'm super bitter at that moment, right? I'm angry, and I'm singing these love songs to Jesus, right? I'm like feeling very bitter. And the reason I was feeling bitter was because, God, I want to be out there too, right? I want to be in those seats. I want to not care about playing and singing and doing all these songs. I want to be with them too. I was getting bitter. It was for about like 5, like 10 minutes, just faking it. Like, oh, I'm bitter, God, I'm bitter, right? And remember, God told me, Tav, it's so clear. He said, Tav, open your eyes. My eyes were open, right? He's just telling me, open your spiritual eyes, open your heart. And he's saying, do you see the people out there? I'm saying, yeah, of course. They're blessed. They're getting encouraged. They're encountering you. Of course I see that, right? And I remember God speaking to me and saying, Tav, I'm using you and your team to point them to me. Do you not see how when you are serving and you're giving and you're using the gifts that I've given you, and these people are able to encounter, experience me in worship, in prayer because of what you guys are doing? Can you not see that? You know, that shifted my mind totally that night. I said, God, you're right. You've given me gifts. And out of love for my brothers and my sisters that are out there reaching out to you, God, use me. God, I'm here to serve you, Lord. If they can be blessed, if they can be encouraged, if they can be edified, God, use me. Here I am. Oh, God, we sang that today. You know, in the same way, church, the Lord wants to use each and every one of us to be an instrument, to be a vessel, to draw others to Himself, right? To draw others to be encouraged, to draw others to encounter and to experience Him. And one way that we can do that practically is serving. But he doesn't end there. He doesn't say just serve, right? He says, when you serve, be diligent, be fervent, right? Serve the Lord. And what he's basically saying, he's saying this. He's saying, when you serve, be enthusiastic, be passionate, right? He's saying, give it your best. Give it your all when you're serving with the motive of loving your brothers and sisters. Not only that, but with the motive of saying, man, I want my brother and my sister to encounter you, God, and to experience you, right? To be healed, to be restored. God, use me in any capacity for them to be blessed. Right? In Rooftop, we have all these ministry teams. We serve in one or another capacity in our church, right? And let me just give you some examples. When you set up chairs, there's one thing we can do. When, you know, there's people that come up early, and they come early in the morning to set up the chairs that we sit in. You guys know that it doesn't set itself up, right? We have a team that does that. But as we set up chairs, maybe you can pray for the people that are going to sit there and say, God, as I'm setting up these chairs, Lord, I'm praying, Lord God, that whoever sits here, that you would bless them, that you would speak to them, that you would encourage them, Lord, that you would touch them. Even if you're not a greeter, it doesn't mean that you cannot greet. Amen? If you see somebody, even if you don't have a, I'm a greeter at Rooftop, when you go and just welcome somebody, you say hello to them, you catch up with them, whatever it might be, say, God, in some way, when I do that, may they experience your love. May they experience you. Whether we're in the worship team, whether we're serving in the children's ministry, whatever we're doing, finance, events, parking, security, prayer, whatever it is that we do, we have to do it passionately. We have to do it, right, with enthusiasm, and we have to give it our very best and give it our all with the motive so that others can be edified and blessed. And this is a moment I kind of want to stop and give a shout out to all of you that do serve. Like I mentioned at the beginning, right, without all of us serving here, this church will not function. But the fact that people are willing to give up their time, their talent, their gifts to serve at Rooftop helps the church to function. But can we be real today? Aren't there moments, church, when you don't feel passionate? Aren't there moments where you feel like, I kind of don't want to do it. I don't really feel it today. Right? We have those moments, right? I don't think everyone here, unless, okay, like, if you have that special gift, whatever it might be, you're always like, yes, right? Then, like, bless you, okay? But I'm not like that. Even as a pastor, can I be honest with you? Not every Sunday, so don't think I'm coming to like, I don't want to be here. Right? No, that's not the case. Right? But there are moments when I don't want to be somewhere. I don't want to do something. I just want to relax. I just want to chill. Right? I don't want to focus on somebody else. I want to focus on me. Right? I want to care about me. I get like that too sometimes, if I'm going to be honest. But can I tell you what I do in those moments? I just get real before God. I just get honest. And I say, Lord, I'm feeling like this. I'm not passionate. I'm not joyful today. I don't even want to do it. I don't want to spend time with people sometimes. I just want to be by myself. But I say, God, but I know, Lord, that's not what you want me to do. God, would you help me? Give me the grace. Would you give me the strength? Would you give me the compassionate heart, Lord, to serve my brothers and sisters, even in moments when I'm not feeling like it? And that's not being fake. That's just being honest. That's being real. And you're asking the Lord for strength to do what God is calling you to do. So one way that we can practically love one another in the context of the church is by serving. Our final point for today, and the second practical way that I want to share with you how we can love one another, is by walking together. Okay? Walking together. Verse 12, it states, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. I think we can all agree that life is hard sometimes, right? Life gets difficult. Life can be discouraging. It can be overwhelming, it can be crippling, even downright hopeless. And during these times, our hearts can be prone to walk away from God. And there are times in those moments when life is difficult, sometimes our hearts become prone or even unwilling to trust in Him. But it's at these moments that we need one another. It's at these moments that we need to remind each other of God's faithfulness, to remind each other of His goodness. It's at these moments that we need to encourage one another with the promises of God that can offer us hope. Not only that, right? But at these moments, sometimes we just need to be present. Sometimes we just need to be a listening ear for somebody, right? Remember, I would get in trouble a lot of times at, forgive me, Deb, I didn't ask you for this, but you can beat me up later, okay? But I got in trouble a lot of times when we were dating because whenever Deb came to me and she was struggling, I don't know if it's a man thing, but I'm always trying to find a solution, right? Like, oh, you can do this and you'll fix the problem. This is what you need to do and this will be the solution, right? And later I found out in life, in our dating life, and Mary's like, just be quiet and just listen. That's all she needs. And sometimes that's the case for us, right? Somebody's going through a difficult time. It doesn't mean that you need to provide a solution or an answer to whatever they're going through. Sometimes they're just saying, I just need you to be there with me. I just need you to listen. And the Word of God says in Hebrews 3:13, it says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, the Lord gives us this word to encourage one another day after day because He knows how hard it can be to journey alone in this life full of tribulations. We're never meant to do life alone. Therefore, He calls us today and He says, we need to walk together. We need to encourage one another as long as it's called today. And the last time I checked, today is still called today. Amen? That means we're called to walk together. We're called to encourage one another. And I mentioned some examples. Be present, you know, be listening. But also simple things as maybe you haven't seen somebody or maybe you know they're going through a hard time. Send them a text. Give them a call. Maybe they just need you to encourage them and tell them, hey, we miss you. Or like, hey, man, like I'm praying for you. Whatever it might be. Right? Be present with them. Offer hospitality. Invite them to your home. Maybe hospitality would help them. Maybe you inviting them to their house or over a meal, that might encourage them. That might bless them, right? That will help them. And I believe God here again is calling us to face tribulations together. When we know somebody is struggling in the church, when we know that somebody's going through a hard time, we're called to come alongside of them. We're called to carry the burden with them together. We're called to alleviate some of that pain, you know, as little or as much as we can in the little that we can do. Is it going to be inconvenient? Is it going to be tiring? You bet it will be. It will be inconvenient at times. It's going to be tiring. But you know what, church? We're family, remember? We're family. And that's what family does. You can inconvenience my time, right? You can call me up, whatever it might be. It's for us to be willing to be that person, say, whatever I can do because you're family, and because I want to love you, I want to do what I can. And one of the best ways that we can do this, church, I believe, is through prayer. It says at the end of verse 12, be devoted to prayer. You know, one thing that I realize, and I constantly realize even more these days, is, you know, when people share their struggles with me or their hardships, I find myself, like, feeling so bad because I can't give an answer. Because I wish I can remove that pain, right? I wish I can remove that struggle, whatever they're going through. I wish I can just take it off of them and be like, oh, God, like, I don't know, God, just somehow just heal them, somehow just help them, somehow just provide for them. Whatever it is, it's so difficult. But one thing I realize, and again, constantly realize, is, you know what, there might not be much that I can do, but one thing that you and I can do is pray, right? It's to go to the person, to turn to the God who can do way beyond what you and I can do on our own. It's to pray for them, to spend time and to intercede for our brothers and sisters. Think about it. In Jesus' darkest moment on earth, what did he ask his friends to do? Stay up with me and pray. If Jesus found it necessary to ask his friends to come alongside and say, come with me, stay up with me and pray, how much more you and I, church, that we also stay up and that we pray with our brothers and sisters. At this time, the worship team can come up. You know, I want to kind of close with this last story. I remember when I was in grad school, I was attending seminary. There was a very dark moment in my life, right? Life was already somewhat difficult because of personal issues and things that's going on in my life. But it just came a point when I was about, I don't know, like 26, maybe my second or third year of my seminary years, my family started to break apart, right? Not giving you full details and information, but my family starts to break apart. The perfect family that I thought my family was, I started to realize it wasn't perfect at all, right? We didn't really grow up with many issues. But my parents were fighting, you know, they were like bickering at each other. It was constant. It got really bad, right? To the point where I felt crippled. My life was paralyzed. I didn't want to live. I couldn't do anything. It was just so hard. I don't want to be in the home. I really didn't have anyone that I can go to because I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed to share with somebody, hey, my family's struggling, right? It came to a point where I actually emailed my professors and I told them, without giving full information, I'd say, professor, I need a week off. I can't focus in school. I can't do anything. I just can't be at school, right? My professors being gracious, right? They're Christian professors, right? Being gracious to say, hey, Tav, you don't have to give us full details. Take a week off. You make up your tests, your exams, your homework, bring it in later. We'll be praying for you. You know, life got difficult. This lasted for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, right? And it was just so hard. And it was so hard because I had to deal with it on my own, pretty much. And it got so bad where I was like so bitter, so angry. And I had to reach out to somebody. I had to reach out to some people. And I said, I can't do this. So I emailed my professors. I said, hey, this is what's going on. Can you pray for me? Because to be honest with you, church, at that moment, the last thing I wanted to do was pray. I didn't want to go to God. I don't want to pray. But I needed somebody to pray for me at least, right? So I asked them, can you pray for me? They said, we'll be praying for you, right? And I remember driving up to church. It was a Wednesday night, right? Wednesday afternoon, I was driving up to LA to my home church, driving bitter, angry, hurt, just so paralyzed and crippled by life. And I kid you not, I was on the 605, if you guys know, 605 North, getting on the 5 ramp, 5 North Ramp, I seriously, literally felt hands all over my body. I couldn't explain it. It was just hands all over my body, and I was like, dang, what is this? And God spoke to me so clearly. He said, these are the people that are praying for you. These are the people that are interceding for you right now. And at that moment, I realized how powerful prayer was. When somebody will stand in the gap and pray for you, it's powerful. Because when you pray, you're praying to a God who can do impossible things. I never told my professors, right? But it was so encouraging and comforting, and it really helped me. Did my life get a lot more easier? No, it didn't. But it gave me some strength to carry on and to come back to trust in Him. Maybe today, church, you need some of that loving. Maybe, church, today, you need someone to pray for you. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Everyone struggles in here. We have hard times. It's difficult. Life is difficult. But we got each other. And one way we can show love to one another is through prayer. Amen, church. Again, spiritual gifts helps the church to function, but love is what's going to keep us together. And I want to encourage you today, pray for somebody. Be devoted to pray for somebody. Be devoted to love on somebody. Don't wait for someone to come to you. You go to somebody. You know somebody's struggling. You know somebody's going through a difficult time. You go to them. And you lend your hand to them. And you pray for them. Or whatever it might be a listening ear. Be present. Whatever it might be, you be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's pray.